All right, hello, hello, everyone. This is your girl, Cynthia D. And I'm here going to give you a recap of all the news that's been going on today. All the news that I posted on my Facebook page, my news Facebook page. And I'm going to give y'all just a little recaps of what's going on. And I'm going to talk about some urban news and things like that. All right, so let me just go ahead and get started with what's going on in Louisiana. All right, so a lot of you don't know what the LHC is. The LHC is the Louisiana Housing Corporation, right? And they basically, help, you know, they focus on housing. They provide assistance with homeownership, renters. They have all type of things, you know, that's going on with this company, all right? So they have conducted a survey pertaining to home ARP funds, all right? So what are home ARP funds? This is basically money from the American Rescue Plan that was given to us during COVID. I can't give y'all the amount of money, how much it is, because I totally forgot how much money it is. But that's why this show is called Getting Real and Uncut, because I've asked some things I know, some things I don't know. But I can give y'all the resources so y'all can find them. Okay, but basically, the home ARP funds can be used for 4 eligible activities: production or preservation of affordable housing, tenant-based rental assistance, supportive services, homeless prevention services, and housing counseling, purchase and development of non-congregate shelter, all right? So they want you guys to fill out this survey, and they're going to have a meeting, I believe, on May 26th to discuss the home ARP funds. And they're basically, with this money, what they want to do is basically help out those who were formerly incarcerated or who are going to be released, right? And the issue with that is, you know, a lot of people don't when you hear the word formerly incarcerated peoples, right? Some people, they shake to their boots and think, oh no, I don't want them in my backyard. That is a form of NIMBYism, right? But LHC is trying to, from the last meeting that I attended, the LHC is trying to propose this thing where they want to help out FIP find a home, especially registered sex offenders. Now, this population, it's hard for them to find housing because of the name registered sex offender. And a lot of folks don't want those type of people around them. But you have to give people the benefit of the doubt. You know, you got to give them the benefit of the doubt. And providing housing for the vulnerable populations like FIP, this will help them. This can also decrease crime rates and things like that. All right. And speaking of crime, we're going to go ahead and go to the next story that I have for y'all on today's recap of Get Real and Uncut. We're going to talk about, you know, the mishaps that's been going on over the weekend, all right? So now let's just go ahead and go to this next story that I posted on my Facebook page. You can just go to my Facebook page, Cynthia Thomas. I'll provide that link for you, all right? So in New Jersey, a New Jersey county agrees on a landmark $10 million settlement to a black man who was paralyzed after a police encounter, all right? So I'm going to give you a brief summary of what this is, all right? So Ingram's right to be free of unlawful and arbitrary seizure was violated. His rights was violated, according to the lawsuit, because the officer used an unneeded, unjustified, and excessive force. Former officer Merck, was also accused of failing to provide medical treatment as needed by their training and of neglect to act. That result in Ingram's constitution and civil rights being violated. So like I said, this victim, and I'm going to give y'all the background of the story when I pull it up, and you can find this on CNN.com. So the lawsuit filed by 29-year-old Xavier Ingram lists that Kingdom County, the Kingdom County Police Department, then Assistant Chief of Police Orlando Suavez, and then Police Chief John Scott Thompson, as well as 3 police officers involved in the accident, which I mentioned in Officer Merrick, Antonio Ginetta, and Nicholas Marchivia as defendants. All right, the county agreed to a settlement last week after years of litigation, and a mistrial was declared on March 29th in Camden Federal Court when a jury became deadlocked on whether the officers were responsible for Ingram's injuries. After the mistrial, the judge presiding over the case asked the the magistrate judge to intercede and mediate to determine whether the parties could agree to the settlement. The county made the settlement offer that was approved by both parties, bringing the case to a resolution. And this was told by Ingram's attorney, Beth Baldinger. All right. So Ingram was transported from his nursing home to the courtroom where he gave his testimony on the bed before the jury, which his attorney called truly remarkable. The lawsuit, like I said, I mentioned the lawsuit, how his civil rights was violated. And although the parties agreed to the settlement, the police department and the officers involved told CNN that the settlement was a business decision superheaded by the insurance carrier. The defendants say Ingram was not entitled to the settlement, maintaining no wrongdoing. All right, but Jay Bloomberg, an attorney for Merrick, said in the settlement to the insurance companies, it sounds like they're trying to twist this up and saying, well, really the insurance company asked for the settlement, so we decided to make a business decision, like he really not gonna get the money. But in reality, this young man should get the money because y'all violated his civil rights, number one. Number two, you did not use the proper techniques that you're supposed to use when you're approaching a civilian, all right? So let's go ahead and get all this straight. That man won, that got that money, and now y'all trying to say it was a business deal. They ain't got nothing to do with no business. The only business that was being brought up was the fact that y'all ain't had no business being this man. So now he get this $10 million lawsuit, and now y'all trying to say it's a business deal. So let me tell y'all how it happened. So this man, Mr. Ingram, he encountered the officers as he was walking to a liquor store where he met up with a friend. When he was trying to leave the store with his friend, the lawsuit alleges he was approached by two officers. He ran into the parking lot of a restaurant while the two officers continued to follow him. And then he ran out into the street and surrendered by laying down on the ground with his hands in front of him. The officers jumped on Ingram and handcuffed him. He did not resist. The lawsuit alleged that this is what the lawsuit says, but Officer Merrick arrived at the scene and Ingram was being arrested. The officers are accused of stomping on the back of his neck and his back and then proceeded to viciously strike him. This is according to the lawsuit. And one of the officers placed his boot on the back of Ingram's neck and intentionally stepped down forcefully, causing him excruciating pain as he screamed for the officer to stop, according to the lawsuit allegations, all right? And Ingram also accused the officers of failing to provide medical care, despite hearing him complain about the pain in his neck and was unable to feel his arms and his legs. The officers observed his state, but forcefully moved him and failed to stabilize his spine in violation of their emergency medical training. And CNN reviewed the statement and posted by the Camden County Police Department on his website June 13, 2014. It was a day after the incident occurred, alleging that the officers rendered aid by stabilizing Ingram after he allegedly slipped and fell to the ground. All right. So that's a little bit about what happened with that story, but the point of it all is the man getting that $10 million and y'all violated his rights, all right? So listen, if we're going back to Louisiana, we're heading to the city, all right? So this is more just following up on crime and what's going on, y'all, all right? So New Orleans, and this is an article posted from NOLA.com. New Orleans has experienced a homicide surge unlike anything it's seen since Hurricane Katrina, with 104 people killed on the city streets so far this year, and violence has become considerably more regular, even in more tranquil areas, meaning those areas that you'll probably see a lot of tourists go to and things like that, things of that nature. So, y'all, I'm trying to find my charger. But in less than 5 months, New Orleans has almost matched the 121 homicides it saw during all of 2019. That was a record low year for crime in the city of New Orleans. Though much can be changed, according to this article from NOLA.com, I'm gonna say what I gotta say after I get to read this article, but I'm gonna give y'all the real how I feel about all of this, and it is not because I'm living here, Because I stay on the outskirts. But I mean, let's get back more into this article though. But like I said, in less than 5 months, New Orleans has almost matched the 121 homicides it saw during all of 2019, a record low year. Though much can change over the next 7 months, the current pace could see the city surpass the 267 murders that took place in 1997, when it was coming off a record-setting wave of violence. Now, I'm going to get into this, because if y'all really pay attention to, if y'all really just sit in and pay attention to what's really going on, y'all got to look at this inflation, right? Inflation is happening. People going up a rent. People don't want to pay enough on these jobs that most of these people qualify for. Mental health is an epidemic now. You got to think about all these factors that plays along to why somebody would want to rob somebody. I'm trying to get what I want, and it's hard for me, so I'm gonna take somebody else's. Okay, you want to stop that plague? You can stop that plague. And honestly, y'all, I blame the city for this. I blame the city. Because of the simple fact that y'all know what's going on with crime. And anytime a crime happens, that money is going back to the city, y'all. The money is going back to local governments, federal governments. It's a thing where, all right, we're gonna let these people kill themselves as long as we're generating money. Some of these people, they don't care. They don't care about the lack of housing. And some people, they talk about housing, but they really don't be about housing because of the simple fact. And reason why I say this, it is simply because you can talk a good talk, but are you gonna let your results speak? You know, you got kids dying in the city, bruh. These are babies that are dying. And the best way you can do to try to combat crime is provide summer jobs. That's temporary. That's temporary for that little boy who really got to do what he got to do to try to make sure his mama gonna be straight, or make sure his brothers and his sisters gonna be straight. Y'all not trying to combat the issue because y'all don't want to go to where the issue is at. If y'all really want to combat the issue, go to where the issue is at. Ask these people what's wrong with them. Instead of trying to criminalize them all the freaking time. It's sad when you see somebody with dreads, you automatically roll up your window. But you can dance all or down during the second line, but not even care about the citizens who's going through it. Now, you know, you're not caring about the moms who are getting evicted, all because they put down single and black on that application. Right? So, how can you address this? You got to go to the problem. And the thing is, what we got to learn how to do as citizens, because it's our freedom of right speech, we have to learn how to hold these people accountable. Can't be scared. Can't be scared based off of popularity or anything like that. No, we got a voice. You got to use it. That's why I have my platform. Because at the end of the day, it's my platform. At the end of the day, I'm not working for no news company or nothing like that. I'm going to speak what the hell I want to speak. And I'm gonna say what's on my mind. But hiring more police for minimum pay and then the duty that entails that, you're going to have a wife that's going to be scared for her husband to come home. You know what I'm saying? Y'all won't get me wrong, but some of the cops down here need protection too. One cop just had, it was in the news the other day, one cop had one of his patrol cars got stolen. Another brand new patrol, brand new car. So, to combat the issue, you need to address the issue. You need to bring those people to the table instead of ignoring them and saying, yeah, I'm going to do this. And then when you get in the office, it's something totally different. And everybody like, no, you can't blame the politicians. They work so hard to do all this. Man, fuck all that. I'm blaming y'all ass. Because I've been seeing it. I've been hearing it. I've been attending it. Don't lie to me just to get a vote. I think that must be a curriculum they teach for like political science or any other type of shit like that. Lie to get a vote. And you wonder why the vote turnout be so low, because don't nobody believe, and some of these people don't believe in nothing that y'all be saying. There could have been all this money coming from this home, from ARPA funds, from this rental assistance, all this money that we got, that the state got, that shit could have been used for a freaking housing trust fund or a freaking any type of trust fund for the state. That money could have been used for that. For situations like this, people need housing. So the city, it needs around like at least 30. I think I gotta look at the report, but there needs to be more affordable homes. Rent is too damn high. Rent is too damn high. And y'all are making it worse. And it seems like the population that want to target is the black mom and pops, the black woman, and the black single woman with the kids. Because you know what they think? Well, she's just going to depend on government assistance anyway, so she gonna make ends meet regardless. I ain't that resilient. Nah. It's nah. Nah, 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 nah. Make it affordable for me. Make this job affordable where I can't afford to live nice and be comfortable with me and my children. And I want half the seller to go to the hood. You know what I'm saying? I want to live nice too. But I can't live nice if the people who I elected ain't even trying to make it nice for me. Y'all, instead, y'all gonna blame me for the stuff. That's a form of manipulation, bruh. And that's what be going on sometimes when it comes to some politicians, all right? So anyway, yeah, so let's keep it going. I'm gonna switch to some little entertainment news because I know y'all tired of hearing, y'all don't really like hearing crime news, but sometimes crime is the talk of the day. Because of the simple fact that crime brings out the truth. It brings out it shows and it brings out the harsh truth of what's really going on in this world. And that is not being accountable and showing that you just don't care. And why do we do that to our people? I don't know. It be your own people. When they get in office, they just change, bro. That's why you can't. I ain't gonna never be no damn politician. Because of I can't deal with that shit. Alright, so let's go ahead and go to sports now. Drew Brees need to make up his mind because he don't know what he want to do, y'all. All right, so let me tell y'all. So Drew Brees has parted his ways with NBC, and he said he don't know if he want to go back to football. See, I think Tom Brady did the same thing. He said he don't know if he want to go back to football. He said he don't know if he want to just help his son's team or whatever. So Drew Brees is seriously considering an NFL comeback or having fun teasing New Orleans Saints fans. Either way, they're enjoying it. Now, I didn't talk one person say they need to put up a petition telling Drew Brees to stay his ass at home. Yeah. Okay. So despite speculation from the media, he tweeted on Twitter. He said, despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I am currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour. Senior golf tour. Coach my kids. But I'll let y'all know this is what the Breeze man said. Now, early on Sunday, Breeze posted something similar on Instagram. And then Jarvis Landry and Tyrann Mathieu had said something. Earlier on Sunday, let me get this right. Earlier on Sunday, Brees posted something similar on Instagram. Man, signing Jarvis Landry and Tyrann Mathieu makes me want to come back and play again. Great additions and leaders, he wrote. Nah, we don't need you, bro. Nah. And if Brees returns, the Saints, of course,
And now, so if Drew Brees do return, the Saints, of course, make a lot of sense, but two other teams do too. But I don't think, if he try to do a Tom Brady, y'all gonna be mad about that. Y'all can't get mad about that. All right? So let's go ahead and go to this thing. Wait a minute. Now I know you lying to me. Hold up. A child caught on camera following a woman with hundreds of dollars and stolen meat from a grocery store in Louisiana. The New Orleans Police Department is asking for the public to locate the woman and the child who are accused of taking meat from a grocery store without paying for it. Girl, I ain't about to read this good. I know. Okay.
Morning is good. God's good. And that's all the time. So, I was in a situation to where I'm going to say we call him a man. I can say he's a boy. Because boys get loud and they have their tantrums and they try to flip things on you. One thing I'm learning in this situation about myself is when I know the truth, you can't explain the truth to deaf ears because of the simple fact that folks will use whatever they can against you to make you feel like you're less than. And what I'm learning here that I haven't learned in a while is my worth. My worth as a woman is to be a helpmeet, but not a leech. Not someone to just, you feel like you can ponder and throw your weak power over. Because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm above and not beneath. I am the victor and not the victim. I am a conqueror through Christ at all. You know, I can do all things that strengthen me. And with this strength that God has given me is seeing things for what they are when it comes to people who does not have the type of love that they need. If a man feels like he got to threaten his mama because she's telling him what's right, there's something mentally wrong with him. If a man feels like sex is the way to make up, or sex is like his goal is, I want to marry a woman who's going to give me head all day when I need it, and if that's another form of submission, that's something I don't want. In my past relationships, sex was like never the focus in it. It was, okay, so what business goals do you have? You know, what other goals are you trying to achieve? And that's one thing I need, this one lesson that I need to take in consideration with dealing with someone who is not mentally stable, who doesn't just have the mental capacity to be vocal, but not be abrasive. There's a difference between being vocal and being abrasive. There's a difference between being defensive and defending yourself. What I've learned is if I'm falsely accused of anything, and if I know the truth, I'm not going to show you my left or right. I'm not going to show you my hand to make it seem like, you know, I'm defeated. And that's one thing that, when it comes to confrontation, I'm not really a confrontational person. I swerve that shit because of the simple fact that who has time? Who has time to explain and then go into detail and then point the finger like a child? It's very childish. So a situation occurred where I wasn't eavesdropping or anything like that. I was in my zone. And I heard something. It rubbed my spirit the wrong way. And I exit stage left because for the sake of my mental health, just for the sake of me, I was like, I don't have time to be dealing with this, but I'm going to stand on my ground and let you
it let you know, fuck you. Because you're threatened because you made up a lie. You did something very childish, and it took me like a minute to put two and two together. So the things that I hear, folks like to twist up and say, no, you didn't hear that, it's a lie, you're crazy, you're delusional, and all of this stuff. And you have to be careful about really being open to people, because they love to use it as a dart. And what they try to do is stick you where it hurts. And how I am made now, you can't throw nothing at me that's gonna hurt me or deteriorate me or make me feel less of, because I know what I am. And this young man, he has, I wouldn't say any mental issues. He's just very, well, yeah, it's mental. It's mental, because as a man, there's no way you should threaten a woman, especially a pregnant woman. You get so upset that you feel like you gotta fight a woman. That sounds like little boy tendencies. That sounds like somebody who really needs to be healed. And some of these, and this man claims that his mother never loved him, but that's not what I'm seeing or hearing. Now what I'm hearing is he chose a path to go on, and now he says, like, everybody owes him. He is right. He's never wrong. I never heard this man hold himself accountable. And I'm a slight disappointed in myself, because I don't know why I'm back in this situation. Because it's what it is. It's a situation. I don't love this man at all. I can sit here and say that with a straight face. I don't love this man at all. I have care for him. I don't love him at all. And the reason why I don't love him, because I'm dead to him. And not in his sense, but I'm just dead to the childish antics. The constant, you know, I want to have sex, and if I don't have sex with you, I'm going to get mad. I'm going to find somebody else. And I'm at a point, I'm like, well, okay, just, I mean, I actually want you to do that. I actually want you to go and feel your sexual desires, because I'm not that type of person anymore. I don't want to please you sexually, because you're not worthy of me just doing it. And his form of submission is sexual, and that's not what submission is. That's not how you submit to a man. He says he wants someone to be extremely nasty to him all the time, and it's just not me. I don't hear any dreams or aspirations with this young man. Nothing he's ever done, I never see him progress. He has a repetitive cycle of hurting people that only wants the best for him, because he feels like the world owes him. And he says he's been on his own since 16, but the family says otherwise. And I think he's trying to ride off of other stories to validate everything that he has to say. He's looking for validation. He's looking for accommodation, because this is a poor man with a poor man's spirit. And I don't like to be negative, but if that's what I'm getting, this is what it is. But as for me, I am going to find my way out of this for the sake of me, for the sake of this child, and for the sake of my children. Simply because I have no faith in none of this. I don't have any faith. And I'm dead to the situation now. Because I know my worth. I know what I'm, well, who I can attract. I know that the love for me is out there. But he says that a man ain't gonna never love me, and I feel like that's a lie, because there are men that love me for me. And I'm not talking about relationship wise. They just love me and respect me because I'm a woman with a hustle. I am a woman who's not to be intimidated by. And I gotta realize who I am dealing with. A man who's damaged. He's very damaged. He's very, very damaged. And he wants to use this term relationship when relationship is more than one term. You can have a business relationship. You can have an intimate relationship. You can have a family relationship. You can have all these type of different factors in a relationship. And the thing is, he tries to use his street knowledge to combat with my educational knowledge, and that's not it. What men don't know is that women are always two steps ahead of them mentally. So the certain games that they pull doesn't work. And he knows that the certain shit that he doesn't work with me. Anything you do, I'm going to call you out on it. Simply because you need to do better. You want to tell you, you know, it's just, I don't know. All I do know is I'm going to try to continue to pray myself out of this situation, because I don't want to be in it. My heart is not even in this. My mind is not in it. My soul is not in it. I'm not connected to him spiritually. I don't see or feel God in him. I don't feel anything. That's dangerous and it's sad. I don't have anything good to say about this young man at all. It's very sad, because you will see so much potential in someone, but their potential could be so blind that once their true colors come out, you're like, wow, what happened to it? And I don't know the term for his mental condition, but like I said, using the words, you're going to be back in a mental home. You're a lunatic. You're crazy. You're all of this. That sounds like somebody who's is a reflection of themselves. Cause you gotta be a lunatic or crazy to even sit there and flirt with a young lady in front of someone's face that you're living with. But you want to use this saying, we're not in a relationship. I'd never ask for it. I don't want to be with you. I don't even see myself having your last name. I mean, granted, I got kids by this man, but I don't see myself having this young man's last name at all. And it's not coming from my hurt place. This is coming from me as a woman. You can't supply my needs. You can't come through with bills. You can't supply my needs. So you're just like dead weight walking around my home, and you don't want to leave because you're comfortable. It's too comfortable for you. And I don't want to take it in my hands to make things uncomfortable for him. Because I have children. I have two girls. I have a son. But he doesn't have consequences to none of his actions. And just looking from the outside in, he needs mental evaluation, because everybody needs a therapist. Everybody needs a therapist. I'm working on myself. I'm healing myself day by day, but this young man needs help. Serious help. I'm going to say all this to say this. Women, don't settle for this. I can admit that I'm settling because I need a babysitter at home. And that's what I need to do towards the end of the year, babysitter. Because you're the dad, you babysit. But this dad doesn't provide for the children. Nothing. He does provide for the children. $60, $80 goes on marijuana, not the children. Pull up for nothing. So as the woman, I feel like the man of the house. No way I'm supposed to feel like that. No way at all. You want to discuss 50-50. 50-50 is cleaning up the house. 50-50 is paying the car insurance. 50-50 is paying the bills. You pay the rent, I pay the majority of the bills. That's what 50-50 is. A man, and it's just, his brain is not all the way there yet. And it's going to take for, not me, but God has to shake him up. God will shake him up. God is going to shake him up because you're playing with his child. And I had to repent to God because, like, yesterday, I was like, God, I'm sorry. Whatever I did to hurt anybody, I am sorry, but I am tired of suffering. I had to repent so hard last night because this is suffering for me. I never wanted to be back in any type of relationship with this young man. Never. He used to disgust me. Just how he carried himself as a man. It was disgusting. It still is disgusting. And I hate to say all these negative terms, but I am tired of suffering. I'm tired of suffering. This man, he brought up something, you know, yesterday. If it was old me, it would have struck a nerve. But this new me is like, you can keep bringing up my past to validate yourself. You can keep saying what your people did to validate yourself. You can use any of your words to validate. If you feel like any of your words is going to make you feel better, good. But you're the one that's still upset. One thing I learned about the word is I can't bring yesterday's troubles to today's news. Because they're not even let go. But this man is not who he portrays himself to be, and I pray that God heals him before it's too late. I don't know if he wants to even know God, but I think he should get to know God. I think he should get to embrace his presence, because whether you know it or not, God has carried you through a lot. You have been carried through a lot, and you have not acknowledged this man for all that he has done for you. You're blessed because of someone who is a blessing, but I can't let you fuck up no more of my blessings anymore. Like taking a dirty band-aid off and trying to put a new band-aid on it. The same wound is there. And he's very scarred. He's scarred from a lot of things that happened in his life, and he needs healing. But he needs to heal on his own. He needs to be on his own. He depends on women, but he hates women. And I pray for his healing. I pray that he's restored, and I pray that God turns him to be a man that's of worth, a man of diligence, a man that's not abrasive, but a man who has goals and ambitions to strive and succeed, not for just himself, but for his children. I never heard a man say that, she better accept me for my 5 kids and accept me for being a broke nigga. No woman wants a broke nigga. No woman wants that. she better accept me for who I am. How can she accept you for who you am? You're damaged. You want someone to accept you for being sexual, not for who you are. You want women to bow down to you because you have been hurt by women. And women only cheat on you is because of the lack of love and self-care that you have given them. And a lot of men don't realize a blessing when they have it until it's gone. So, I'm going to stand on my grown woman, S-H-I-T. I'm about to treat myself and I'm about to pamper myself. Because I gotta realize I'm bad as hell. I'm fine as fuck. And it's not just my outside qualities. It's my inside qualities. I have a heart of gold. I'm very kind-hearted. I would give my last to anybody. I am learning to be carefree. But God has a plan for me. And my plan is to, whenever I get moving on up, I am leaving. Because I can't let anybody stop my goals. I can't. And he's a distraction that's in the way of a lot of things that I need to accomplish in my life. He's just not a man. He's not the man for me. I don't think he's the man destined for me to be with. He has a sweet tooth that he wants to eat all the cake he can eat. But one thing about having a sweet tooth, it can become rotten. It'll become rotten. So I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. And this journey of me focusing and loving me, I can't become the bullshit with the bullshitter. I have to become the beast because I am the beast. I'm the beauty and the beast. So that was it for my TED Talk. Motherfuckers ain't shit, period. And the bitches that fuck them ain't shit either, because they don't have no love for themselves either. Y'all gotta stop being insecure for dumbass niggas. There's no way. If I was in a situation, I would be dealing with a man who's driving in his baby mama car and living with his baby mama. You couldn't pay me no money to even fuck with a nigga like that. Especially a nigga that ain't taking care of his kids. He's just there. He doesn't buy them food, you know, he doesn't buy them clothes, he doesn't do none of that. Yes. You gotta be less than a dumb bitch to even accept that. Because, oh, he got good dick. Oh, he cute. The cute and good dick is only temporary. And that's what some of these niggas come with, hard dick and bubblegum. And this nigga came before bubblegum. You can't be independent in a house with another person. The only way you can be independent and be at peace is if you're on your own. This man told me yesterday, I think, you know, next year you should just go back to Monroe and I go my way. No, motherfucker. Because if I go, I'm not going back to no Monroe just to satisfy you. No, motherfucker. You have 3 kids now. Child support. And the thing is, you're scared to go to jail. You're scared of child support. You are scared of these things, and you want to walk around huffing and puffing like you're a big dog. You can't supply for your kids. Like I said, that's it for my TED Talk. Motherfuckers ain't shit.